This is a Chazar Shir for this past Shabbos, Parshas Bahar, which was the third Shir, Shirim of Pirkei Avos. The beginning of Pirkei Avos, those words are so delicious, it's impossible to move forward without stopping and thinking about them and tasting them. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, those words, those four words, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, contain within them all of Yiddishkeit. It's all of Yiddishkeit. And Moshe Rabbeinu's entire existence was Moshe Kibel. Moshe received. Moshe received. Meseches Avos, the Mesecht that we're learning, and the Meseches of life, the Mesechta of all existence, really comes down to those words, Kibel, Moshe Kibel. Each and every one of us is trying to receive, and each and every one of us is trying to pass it forward to our children, to our grandchildren, to the coming generations, to receive from before and to give to after. So we need to talk about today the Midah of Kabbalah. We're going to be learning Kabbalah today. There's nothing mystical about the Kabbalah that we're going to be learning. We're going to be learning this Midah, this Koyach of Kabbalah, what it means. Since it's the root and the Shirish of our Avodas Hashem, and certainly of Pirkei Avos, probably Rav Kook's greatest Talmud was Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalab Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. And in his Sefer Memorim, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe explains that Mitzad Ha'igoyin Hachitzoni, as far as logic is concerned, and reason, it's reasonable to look at Torah in the way that we look at all Chochmas of the world, in the same way that when it comes to any Chochma of the world, a person who is seeking wisdom, a person who is seeking knowledge, his ultimate objective is that information that he's seeking. The tachlis of studying, the tachlis of research is to be able to come to that knowledge that the individual is seeking. So there's no question that when it comes to human wisdom, the Iker HaMavukash, that really what the person wants, is the Hischakmus, the enlightenment, the knowledge and the enlightenment. And as long as the person senses, feels that there's something missing in his knowledge of that particular field or that particular discipline that he is trying to master, whether it's in biology or in a particular piece of literature or something in history, whatever that is. So this individual will go to somebody who is more educated, who has more insight and wisdom, perhaps, into this discipline. So that his chakmus, that chokhmah that I am seeking, and I have discovered my limitation, and that I'm stuck, I can't move forward. So by going to this person who is the chokhmah in this inyan, who is greater than me, I will be able to gain more insight and wisdom and more enlightenment, and that is the tachlis of my studying and my following through with other people who could help me. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says that intuitively any person would assume that Chochmas HaTorah is also the same as all other Chochmas, that Kabbalah, receiving that knowledge, either from a particular written source or from a living source, a master, a teacher, that Kabbalah is only a means to the ultimate goal that I am seeking, which is this particular yediyah, knowing this subject, his chachmas, enlightenment, and understanding. So, from this perspective, Kabbalah receiving is only a hechatimtze, it's only a means to achieve the ultimate goal, the ultimate end, which is the hischachmas, which is that knowledge, that state of knowing, or to increase my knowing. But the truth is that that's absolutely not what it means to learn Torah, and that's not the tachlis of Torah. The emes is, it's just the opposite. The whole tachlis of Torah is to be able to create a ben adam, a yid, a human being, a Jew, who is a bar kabbalah. To create such an individual who's able to receive, who's a clay kibble, a vessel to receive. The tachlis of Torah is not to create well-informed geniuses who have mastered this subject or that subject. All that we do in expanding the horizons of our knowledge and intelligence, all the hachava of our kishreinus and our chochma in learning, hakol kol mamish, is for that tachlis, to make us into kalim, into kalim vessels, containers that are more capable of receiving. With every other chachma, so this we understand, that with every other chachma of the world, in any other discipline of knowledge in the world, Kabbalah, receiving, hearing, seeing something in a book, is only an emtsoi, is only a means of achieving my goal, my objective, which is hischakmas, wisdom and understanding. By Torah, it's just the opposite. All of the hischakmas, all of my enlightenment, all of my education, is to bring me to that nakuda, that I could be somebody who's a clay kibble. Therefore, we learned, and we've been learning all the years, that the word chokhma consists of two words, koach ma, the ability to be humble and to ask what. What, meaning to carve out within myself a space to be a kli, a vessel, to understand that I don't understand, and that there is an infinite God that's beyond my understanding, and to reach out and to seek more and more to be a clay kibble. Koach ma is chochma. The koach for a person to be ma, v'nachnu ma. Who are we? What are we? To be able to ask, to be able to realize that I don't know. Let me explain. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the Gemara in Tanis and Chav Gimel, the story of a very mysterious Tana by the name of Chani HaMagal. And you know that Chani HaMagal slept for 70 years, which is more than most of the teenagers that I know. At the end of those 70 years, the Gemara tells us that Chani HaMagal went to the Bis Medrash. Where should a person go? Everybody that he knew had already left the world. And Chani HaMagal went to the Beis HaMedrash. And he heard the Chachamim learning in the Beis HaMedrash. And he heard the Chachamim saying, Nihiron Shmaitzin Kibishnei Chani HaMagal. The Chachamim were ecstatic with the learning that day. And they said, Nihiron Shmaitzin Kibishnei Chani HaMagal, that the learning has never been so clear. It's never been so clear since the days of Chani HaMagal. Of course, they never knew what happened to Chani HaMagal. The learning has never been so clear. We've never had such an experience of clarity in learning since the days of that great tzaddik, Chani HaMagal, who left us so many years ago. Of course, you remember that Chanya Magal tried to convince the Chachamim that it's him, that he was alive. And they didn't believe him. And the Gemara tells us, of course, afterwards what happened, that he couldn't go on living in such a way. He couldn't live with that loneliness. So let's try to understand what's the Gemara telling us. The very same Chachamim who the day before did not understand on their level, could not come to grasp that particular piece of Torah, that particular piece of learning with absolute clarity, suddenly, Hakol Meir, everything is mamish, shining and clear, and the way that they express their delight at having this clarity in learning was Nehir and Shmeitzen Kibishnei Chani Hamagal. There was something that was in the air that hadn't been felt since the days of Chani Hamagal. They had become mysteriously connected to a koach of Torah from an earlier time, of an earlier generation. What does this mean? It means that these tzaddikim had developed into exquisite mekablim over the course of their lives. Remember, the tachlis of Torah is to be able to be mekabel, to make oneself into a vessel to receive. Koach ma, these were tzaddikim who had developed into exquisite mekablim. And that means that their antennas of Kabbalah were able to pick up on somehow on the wavelengths, on some sort of a current, an electricity, an energy of the Moshe Rabbeinu of the previous generation. The Moshe Rabbeinu of the earlier generation was Chani Hamagal. They didn't understand what was happening, but these Mekablim in that chain of Torah, these Mekablim who worked their entire lives in the Chochmas HaTorah to make themselves into Jews who have the capacity to acknowledge ignorance on their level and to yearn and long for Hashem to fill that empty kli with His light. These Mekablim could not explain this rationally or logically, but that something happened. And the way they expressed that was, Nehir and Shmeitzen Kibishnei Chani Hamagal. They had no idea that Chani Hamagal had stepped into the Beis Medrash. But they were so attuned to receiving that the very presence of Chani Hamagal caused their antennas of Kabbalah to receive this feeling, this sense that there was something transmitted from an earlier time. It says in the Pasuk, Hashem yitain chochma, mipiv das usvuna. Hashem yitain chochma. Chochma is for the person, for the Jew, who is constantly waiting to receive it from Hashem's mouth. Hashem yitain chochma. He is the source of chochma. And from His mouth, as the mouth of Hashem communicates to the generation, and then that generation to the next generation. Hashem yitain chochma, Hashem speaks through the mouths of the chachmei hador, of the early generation, and the next generation stands on its tiptoes to place its ear as close as possible to the mouth to receive das mipiv das usvuna, wisdom and knowledge. Without that koach of Kabbalah, without that hiskashrus to the earlier generation, it is simply impossible to truly understand the wisdom that is issuing forth from the mouth of God Himself at all times. Hashem is speaking to us and sharing His wisdom with us. We have to listen. We have to receive. We can understand now the words on our level of Rav Kook in his Siddur, in the Eilus Raya, the second Chelik, page Kuf Nun Tes. Hagedula ha'elyoina shel ha'adam, the highest level of greatness that man can achieve. Hamis'ala me'al kol gaidel v'nizga, that rises higher and takes a person higher than any other form, any other level of greatness. He ha'estaglus lishma b'kal Hashem. He ha'estaglus lishma b'kal Hashem is man's ability to lean or to step on his tiptoes and to hear the kol Hashem, to hear the voice of God. L'kabel d'var Hashem, to receive the Dvar Hashem. Loi l'chadish es me'atzmai, not to come up with novel concepts and ideas himself, even though that, of course, is also part of learning, a great part of learning. And there was nobody who was more creative than Rav Kook himself. But he says the highest madrig is loi l'chadish me'atzmai, not to come up with new ideas. Loi l'hamid chazayna, to establish a vision of one's own thoughts. Loyles chazik ba'atzmius ha'koyches ha'mugbolim, not to strengthen oneself with his own limited koyches. Ashla adam ulachal night, so that a man has and all that exists, which is limited to the koyches that define its existence. That is not the tachlis ki'im lekabel. The tachlis is the highest and most noble aspiration is to receive, to hear, and to receive. Therefore, he goes on and says, Moshe Adon Hanavim, Moshe Rabbeinu, the master of all prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu saw b'aspek klari hamheir, with complete clarity. Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen by God to hear, Anochi Hashem Lekech an Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu is ha'anav shebechol Adam, asher al pnei ha'adama, davke, because he was the most humble person on the face of the earth. He was the one who possessed the chachma, the koachma, to listen, to receive. And in order to do that, one must be exceedingly humble. Ma'oid, ma'oid, habishvar ruach. Therefore, Rav Kook says, Hu ba el ha'alyonis hazois. He reached this exalted level of Moshe Kibel, of receiving, of hearing. To such a degree, ad asher hanevuah hametzuchseches shaloi, that his nevuah, his prophecy, was absolutely clear, was clear. It didn't have particles of his ego, of himself. It was totally receiving. Lo nis'arbava kol dehu mimechshach hagbola enoshis. There wasn't the tiniest particle of human limited darkness mixed in to what he received into his prophecy. Kiyim kula dvar Hashem. It was entirely dvar Hashem, completely from God's mouth, without anything interrupting, obstructing that process of Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai, of Kabbalah. Shanishom ha'elyon hazois, this great and exalted soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, Nishmoso shel haroya ha'neman Moshe, the soul of the faithful shepherd. That's the meaning of faithfulness. Not confusing what the other is saying with my own chidushim, but to faithfully receive and carry out. So nishmoso shel haroya ha'neman Moshe, the soul of the faithful shepherd Moshe, nesto lekli kabbalah, had become a perfect vessel of Kabbalah, l'kabel esha'or ha'elyon b'mloy zahorai, to receive that light from above in all of its brilliant, brilliant, shining light. Ba'oitzam gvaroso, with all of its power, u'kliel tif'ato, and beauty and glory. V'hu tikun yisoid hashmiya b'chol olamim. And Moshe brought a tikun, repair, to this yisod, this power, this koach, this midah of shmia, of listening to all worlds. You know, Rav Kook had a student, perhaps the second greatest of his students, Rav David Cohen. Rav David Cohen is known as the Nazir, the Nazirite. He was a tzaddik yisod olam, also a very mysterious person, who first met Rav Kook while studying in Switzerland. And remained devoted to Rav Kook to the end of Rav Kook's life. He spent all of those years listening in silence. The Nozer was a person of silence. He wrote a magnificent sefer called Kol Hanavua, The Voice of Prophecy. And the entire sefer is built on this yesod of how all of Torah is shmia, hearing, listening, receiving. That's all of Torah. Ultimately, in its purest form, the Navi is able to hear the Dvar Hashem. All learning, all growing, is a function of the Koach of Kabbalah, of Shmia, of hearing and of listening. Kol HaNavuah. Now we understand. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Now, the Torah makes many guarantees and promises to the person who learns. And the Torah promises the Talmud Chacham, the individual who devotes himself to serious learning, the Torah promises that such a person's life will mamash be changed. He'll be transformed into a great and exalted person through his study of Torah. And we've heard, all of us who have learned, have heard in talks of Torah from our teachers, what the Torah is supposed to do to us, and what the Torah can do to us. And we believe in this, and we should believe in all of this. Let me give you an example. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, Amud Beis, tells us that a Talmud Chacham is someone who loves God. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. And that first parasha of Kriya Shema is telling us about learning. V'shinantan levenecha, v'dibarta bam. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, the Gemara says, Shehei Shem Shemayim Misayev Al Yadcha. A Talmud Chacham is such a person who causes the name of God to be loved. Shehei Shem Shemayim Misayev Al Yadcha. That through the Talmud Chacham, people come to love and to respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheikar v'shoyne u'mesharmish tam yacham v'him aso ma'atonu banachas ma'abriyas. Person who is devoted to Talmid Chacham and who cares about Torah study is somebody whose dealings with people is with nachas in a very gentle and dekovedik way. Ma'abriyas aymrayas olav. What do people say about such a person? Ashrei aviv shalom day Torah. Fortunate is the person, is the father of this person, Shalom Dei Torah, who taught him Torah. Ashrei Rabbi, Shalom Dei Torah. Fortunate is his Rebbe, who has taught him Torah. Ru'u kama noim drachav. Look and see how pleasant are his ways. Kama misukonim ma'isev. How perfect are his actions. Olav akosuv oimer, regarding such a Jew, such a student of Torah, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Vayermeli Avdi Ata, Hashem says, you are my servant, Yisrael Asher Becho Espoer. You are Yisrael, the Jewish people, in whom I take pride. What the Gemara is telling us is that when a person studies Torah, when a person learns Torah, it makes him into a Dahib, and a mention to an exalted person, a person whom everybody looks at and says, ach, fortunate is his father. How great is his Rebbe. Look how beautiful all of his actions are. Look how erlich, look how honest, look how he takes care of his parents. Look how he tends to his wife and children. Look how careful he is that his clothing should be neat and clean. Look how he isn't in business. Look how he talks to people with such derech eretz, with such nachas. Look at his midas. Look at his maisim toivim. Yisrael asher b'cho espoir. That's what Torah can do for a person. That's what Torah should naturally do for a person. To make him into Rav Moshe Feinstein. To make him into a Chavetz Chaim. So the big question, of course, is how come it's not so poshut that happens? Why is it that's not something that happens? Why is it that we all know people, unfortunately, who are very learned and perhaps have spent tens of thousands of hours devoted to learning? And not only do we not admire the father or the teacher, but we're wondering what went wrong. Who was the father that raised a person who's such a brilliant scholar, but seems to be completely clueless when it comes to the most common practices of Derech Eretz, of Menschlichkeit, and so on? We often wonder when we see what's going on. What went wrong? What's happening? The Torah is supposed to do this. And the Torah has the koyach to do this. And yet, it's often not happening that way. We don't see too many Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbachs and Reb Moishes. There are great scholars. But we don't see the transformative power of Torah in effect. Why? What's happening? What's gone wrong? The simplest answer is because only Torah that is learned for the tachlis of Kabbalah to hear, to receive, only that Torah changes the person. The Jew who is described in the Gemara that we just learned, that Jew, somehow through his learning and over the years of davening and working on himself, has become a little bit of a Moshe Kibel. He's become a Makabel. He was Machni himself at some stage, at some point in his development. He humbled himself to his father, who was a God-fearing Jew. He made himself into a clay kibble, into a vessel, and leaned over to hear not only the words that his Rebbe had to say, but the person who his Rebbe is. But if you have a Jew whose entire tachlis of learning and studying is to be what? To be a chacham. Not to be a Talmud chacham, not to be a student to receive, but to be a chacham. Lehischak came, as if Torah was biology, as if Torah was history or literature. And the entire goal is to become informed and to have a gishmak, that I could enjoy this. This is a gishmak that I have in my learning, and I could say over this Torah and that Torah, and people will look at me and admire me and so on. A person who's looking for a gishmak, meaning that's the tachlis of his learning, is to gain information and to have a gishmak in his learning, although there's nothing wrong. That's a very important thing, as the Avner Nezer talks about in his introduction to Eglei Tal. But if the tachlis here is to become someone who is brilliant and who knows more than the next guy, then such a person, we understand that once he learns what he wanted to learn, meaning that he sees himself as a person who knows more than his best friend, or the other guy that sits at his table in the yeshiva, or once the gishmak is finished, he no longer feels something that's exciting him in that way. He no longer feels that this particular Rebbe can give him that gishmak. So then he moves on. He moves on to another Rebbe, who moves on to, or maybe to a computer. It doesn't have to be a living Rebbe. The ikur is not in this person's life, is not to receive, is not to hear, it's not to be humble, it's not to be a clay kibble. When we're talking about such an individual, with all of the Torah that he learns, that doesn't make him into a person who's a Baal Ruach HaKadosh. It doesn't give him the peace of mind, the tranquility, the sweetness, the gentleness, the shleimus hamidus of Rav Moshe Feinstein, or Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It doesn't make him into a pirkei avos d'ikud Jew. It makes him into a scholar. If he would be a scholar of history or of philosophy, he could have the very same midas. He could be the same impatient, angry, selfish person that he is now that he's a scholar of Torah. His problem is that he was never makabel the Torah. He studied it. He heard it with his ears. He's smart, and he absorbed tremendous amount of information. But the Torah is not going to make him into that person who the Navi describes as Vayomali Avdi Ata Yisrael Ashevacha Espoir. He's never going to be that person. And now we can understand the difference between our generation and the earlier generations. The later generation and the earlier generation. Yushalmi tells us that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi would say that the same way that there's a chiluk between Zahav and Ofer, the same difference between gold and dirt. Men kodesh kodashim l'chol echulim, between the Holy of Holies and the lowest thing in the world. Kach yeish ben doiri l'dor shel Abba. So is the difference between my generation and the generation of Abba, of my father. So we look at ourselves, and many, many bright people are scrambling to figure out, why is it that we're talking, not making another Rav Aaron, another Rav Moshe, another Rav Shlomo Zalman, another Rav Yaakov? Why is it we're not making another Satmarov, another Klosenberg, another Lubavitcher Rebbe, another Baba Sali, another Rav Kadui? Why not? Why not? So there are two convenient answers. The first convenient answer, of course, is the internet. It is the computer, which we know is poison, but is also an extremely convenient answer to explain our lack of success in producing Rav Moshe's and Rav Shlomo Zalman's. And even if it's a particular person that's not looking at the computer, but he's influenced by its presence, and so on. And this is connected to the more traditional explanation, which is Hiskatnas Hadaris, that the generation, that one generation that's further away from Har Sinai is on a lower level than the generation that was closer to Har Sinai. This has also become an extremely convenient explanation for all of our deficiencies. So if you stop a fellow and you ask him, Yankele, why is it that you only come to yeshiva in such a sporadic way, that you'll come for 2 weeks, then you disappear for 2 weeks? Why is it that when it comes to davening, you show up to minyan once or twice a month, or once or twice a week? Why is it, and you could fill in the end of the sentence in any way you want, and the answer that's very convenient and is readily in the mouth of a person who's even learned a little bit in his life is, what do you expect? There's a Hiskat Nesadaris. My father was closer to Har Sinai. You know that there's a natural mitzias of this downward spiral as we go further and further away from Har Sinai, that the generations are shrinking and becoming smaller. This is a convenient answer to explain every problem, to explain every difference between what was and what is. Demis is that in Pnimis HaTorah, in the Pnimis Shabbat, Pnimis HaTorah, we'll talk more about this, Shavuos Night in Mitzvah Shem. That's not entirely clear, it's not entirely true. On some level, of course, there's a hismatus, there's a hiskatnus of the generations. But in other ways, as we get closer to Mashiach, there's a certain greatness that was not there in earlier times. Nevertheless, it's obvious that the point here is not that our present generation is lacking intelligent people. We have people with brilliant, brilliant minds. To say that the entire difference is, what do you expect? They were smarter in the earlier days, meaning a few years ago, last generation, whatever. Or the Liban Shavishanim, or their hearts were bigger. And there is some truth to that. But to blame our failures, our deficiencies, our inability, it seems, to produce on any larger scale the kind of Talmid Chacham that I mentioned before, to blame all of that in Hiskatnas Hadaris, I believe, is a serious, serious mistake. And it just prolongs the agony of not truly understanding the deeper cause, the deeper reason behind what's going on. I think the best way to explain, as I saw recently, that Dr. Tversky, was always on sign, Rabbi Avram Tversky, recently wrote a book of some reflections. I mean, recently wrote, he's always recently written a book, Kanayin Har, he's written many, many books. And he recently wrote a book on having reached the age of Gur, his 80th birthday, the Sunur in Swansea. And I'm not sure if I saw it in that book or an interview regarding that book, but Dr. Tversky was asked, when he looks at the yeshiva scene, as he sees it now, and as he remembers growing up, he grew up here in the States, in Milwaukee, as you know, and then later on he went to, of course, the yeshivas. As what is the difference? What's the most obvious, glaring difference between how it was and how it is? And he says something which I felt really, really touched the Nekud HaPnimis of what we're learning today. He said that, you know, in the earlier days, he said when he was young, they would ask you, where you're learning. You'd see Yeshiva Bacha, and you'd ask the Yeshiva Bacha where you're learning. And the typical answer of where you're learning was never in a particular building or an institution. The answer was typically, I learned by Rav Aaron. I learned by Rav Moshe. I learned by Rav Yashaber. I learned by Rav Shlomo Hyman, by Rav Shlomo. The answer was not a place, it was a person. What does that mean? And he said that he sees in that the ikar chilek between what was and what is. Because what was in the past and the difference between one generation and the later generation is not the kishrinus. It's not the skills. It's not the talents. The talents is not the intelligence. We're an intelligent people. Am chacham v'navayin. We're an intelligent people. It's not the kishrinus. Maybe something has happened. That's not the ikar. The ikar is Moshe kibel Torah m'Sinai. The ikar is that belief that the only way to learn Torah is by emptying myself out and humbling myself and throwing myself at the feet of a tzaddik, at the feet of the Chacham, of the Talmud Chacham. It's to be a makabel, and the whole tachlis of my growing is to make myself into more of a clay kibble and to develop into kalim of Kabbalah to repair the antennas of Kabbalah that have been damaged over time, so that I could pick up those frequencies of the earlier generation and to connect myself to the tzaddik, to the Talmud Chacham. Only in such way, when a person empties himself out, chachma koachma, and makes himself into a clay kibble, can the Torah penetrate mamish deep, deep into the kishkas and to make him to that Jew that the Gemara Yuma describes, regarding whom Hashem says, Avdi Atah, you're my servant, Yisrael Asher B'choy Espar, in whom I take pride, your father, everybody says, Ach, Ashrei Oviv, Ashrei Rabbi, what a lucky person his father is, what a lucky person his Rebbe is, how do you make a person like this, what a tzaddik, what a Talmud Chacham, kam anoyim drachav, kam umsukonim maisav, how beautiful, how pleasant are his ways. How honest, how erlich he is in business. Only into such a clay kibble does the Torah of the early generation flow and seep into every crack and crevice of the consciousness and the subconsciousness of the Talmud, of the student. And here we turn to the teachings of our Rebbe, the P.S.S. Neschus, I know Hashem should avenge his blood. Anybody who's ever opened Chavis HaTalmidim knows and has seen the unbelievable discussion that he has at the beginning with teachers and parents. It's been translated into English, and there's a new translation, a beautiful translation, that was recently published, that came out. The shul helped in the publication. And it's really, and it would really be kedai to go over the entire thing and to look inside. But the Rebbe himself wrote on page 31 of the new translation, there's a summary. We'll read it in the English. It's much nicer to read it in the original Lashon HaKodesh. We just don't have time. The Rebbe writes, to summarize, the Rebbe himself was astounded when he looked and he saw in his own life, and he did not live to be old, but the Rebbe saw that in those years, from before World War I till after World War I, he saw that as a cutoff point, as something cataclysmic changed. there was some great change that took place. And he saw that, and he was trying desperately to understand, because he wanted to speak to the new generation. He wanted to be able to communicate with the children of the new generation. And he wanted to help us as parents and teachers to speak, to give over Torah to the next generation. Moshe Kibel, Misina Umasarali Yeshua. How do we give it over to Yeshua if we don't understand the Yeshuas of the new generation? And therefore, instead of complaining and krechtzing that things are not good anymore, the Rebbe sought with his great mind and heart to enter into the consciousness and subconsciousness and subconscious of the new generation. And he writes, to summarize, in previous generations, every parent or instructor could educate Jewish children and show them the godly path, even if he or she did not adhere entirely to Shlomo Melech's directive of Chanoch Lanar al Pidarko, train the child according to his way, namely according to the mind and makeup of each individual student or child. So the Rebbe says that in earlier generations, it seemed that for the most part, even parents and teachers who were not particularly talented and were not particularly good at giving over Yiddishkeit and Torah, and even though they were not really particularly attuned to the specific nature of that child, that student, nevertheless, the Rebbe said that for the most part, they were successful in producing firm children and students. One who made exclusive use of commands and habit could still have a positive effect on his charges. Even those who did not really know much about teaching at all and would just say, do this and don't do that. And you have to keep this because that's what God told us. And it says in the Gemara, do this, put your finger in the Gemara, pay attention, and so on. Mostly they were still producing positive effects because children and even adolescents had pure, pristine souls and were aware of their lack of maturity and experience. You hear that? They were makablam. They had the ability, the humility to receive. The Rebbe continues. In other words, they were honest and were well aware of their lack of maturity and experience, that they were empty kelim. They had a certain inner thirst, a desire to learn Hashem's ways from any instructor or educator who was willing to teach them. I've mentioned many times how if you look at Jews from the past generation, any Dvar Torah that they have, they love, that they hear. My father's uncle's anxiety, it makes no difference if the Rav only said over Rashi that day in Shul. If he just read Rashi, my father will come home and say to my mother, oh, we heard such a beautiful Rashi, the way that the Rav said Rashi. It was so beautiful. My father's all excited. Not now. Not with our generation. Our generation could run from one Shul to the next, one Rebbe, from one Rav to the next, one Yeshiva to the next. He doesn't say. He does say. I didn't hear any big Chiddush. I could even say better myself, and so on and so forth. Because the generation, the last generation, were kelim of Kabbalah to receive, humble kelim to receive. Not all, but it was much more. So the Rebbe says, they had a certain inner thirst, a desire to learn Hashem's ways from any instructor or educator who was willing to teach them. You see this very often by Balei Tshuva. And the midah of humility goes hand in hand with our Balei Tshuva and our generation, who want to learn from anybody who can teach them, and who are humble enough to say, even though they might be much more intelligent than the person who's teaching him, have much more native intelligence than the person who's teaching him. But the Baal Tshuva is humble. He's humble. And because of that, he says, look, I might be a professor of physics, but when it comes to Torah, I'm a kli kibbul, I'm a kli. I want to receive. I want to hear what you have to say. You see this beautiful, beautiful midah by Sfardim that I've always been so mesmerized by the typical midahs of Sfardim to receive, to be mechabed chachamim and tzaddikim, and to empty themselves out in such a way, with such humility, to receive Torah and to receive brachas. It's a midah of Kabbalah. It's a midah of humility. If such a child, the Rebbe continues, if such a child did occasionally turn astray and refuse to listen, if he went through his hard time and he turned astray, he himself realized afterwards that he had erred. And if his father or teacher employed punishment, corporal punishment, he knew that they were right and he was wrong. His spirits flagged, and he forced himself to listen to his elders from then on, and to subdue his instinctive desires and inclinations. The punishment would work. The discipline would work. Because the child, the student, would humbly, for the most part, put his head down and accept that ultimately he was wrong. Gradually, such a child absorbed the Torah he was taught and learned to be a loyal Jew. Of course, there are exceptions to this. But for the most part, that's how things are going for a long time. Some children grew to be more learned, some less. But all of them became Jews who were dedicated to serving Hashem, meaning all of them continued on with that march of Moshe Kibbal Torah Mesinai Umisara Yeshua, and the parade of Torah, of Yiddishkeit, of holiness, continued on and marched on from one generation to the next, with the new generation humbly receiving from the old generation. Even if the teachers were not all the teachers were particularly talented, and even if the Rebbe was impatient and told them to just listen and to obey, for the most part, it worked. Today, the Rebbe says, things have changed. Children possess a sense of self and independence that are disproportionate to their age. Their feelings, aspirations, and outlook begin to take shape while they are still quite immature. And when they emerge, they cause a generation gap between the children and their parents that often leads to feelings of estrangement and hostility. The children of our generation, who had the potential to become true loyal Jews, have been lost. Instead, they have become our enemies, poking fun and gnashing their teeth at us and our emuna. This is what Shlomo HaMelech foresaw when he warned, Chanoch l'anar al pi darko, educate each child and train him according to his particular way. So the Rebbe says that this has changed in our generation. For whatever reason, she doesn't go into right now. The new generation has this sense of self and a need for independence that's completely disproportionate to their age. And because of that, they feel at a very early age, even though they're very immature, they feel at a very young age that they know, they understand, and they engage in perpetual eye-rolling when they hear the parents say, but Yankel, we really think this is best for you. Or the Rebbe says, but Maishala, really, this is what you should be doing now. And often this leads to feelings of estrangement and hostility, that the children are saying, you don't understand me. You don't know who I am. You can't identify with me, and so on. And as a result of that, there's an unbelievable interruption to the march of Moshe Kibbal Torah Mesinai. An unbelievable and frightening interruption to that march that's taking place in many homes and in many yeshivas, where the children are simply not receiving. And it's not just the fault of the parents or the teachers. In early generations, as the Rebbe said, they were not the best teachers and parents either. And it's not just a matter of method or methodology and teaching. A change has taken place. And therefore, the Rebbe says, we have no choice. We must live with the words of Shlomo HaMelech, Chanoch l'nar al pi darko. We must educate each child according to his way. We must accept that this is a fact. This has changed. That the power of Kabbalah, the Midah of Kabbalah, has weakened terribly. And we must therefore reach out to the children, each child, according to who he is, and to try to speak his language and to enter into his or her life. We have no choice. And the stakes are very, very high. This is the basis of the Sefer Chovos HaTalmidim. Chovos HaTalmidim, and the Rebbe speaks to the Talmidim. A Talmud doesn't mean a tape recorder who's able to memorize what the Rebbe said or what it says in the Sefer. A Talmud is an individual who listens, who's koilate, who absorbs not only the words, but the feelings, the emotions, the greatness, the midas toivas. A Talmud is Yehoshua. And we spoke about this in the last year. And this is what I'm trying to explain, to move forward, to explain what it means. Moshe Kibbal Torah Mesinai Umisara Yeshua. The greatest Makabel, Yeshua received from Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a Koach HaKibbul. And he received from his Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the, like we saw from Rav Kook, was the greatest clay kibble, because he was the most humble person who ever lived. He was the most humble person in the world. And humility means that his mind was unclouded, unencumbered with ego, with his own independent aspirations, outlooks, thoughts, opinions, and so on. Therefore, we know the Gemara says in Erevin that when we have an argument between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, for the most part, with a few exceptions, the halacha is like Beis Hillel, which is amazing. The reason it's amazing is because we know that Chazal tell us that the students of Beis Shammai were sharper. They were more brilliant than the students of Beis Hillel. So in the world, in the way the world works, the more brilliant, the more chachma, and the more logical it is to follow that view. And yet, davke, machlekes b'sham Beis Hillel, for the most part, we follow Beis Hillel. And the Gemara there says why? Because it wasn't clear. After all, they were more brilliant than Beis Shammai. So a bas kol, a voice came from heaven. It's an Erev in Yud Gimel Amud Beis. A voice came from heaven and said the reason. You know why? Because anovim heim. Because the besmedrash, the members of the besmedrash of Beis Hillel are more humble. They have greater humility. Therefore, they have ears to hear. They have antennas to receive that are more finely tuned than the students of Beis Shammai, as great as the students of Beis Shammai weren't as brilliant as they were. There was they had themselves on their level. They themselves were mixed into that, to the airwaves that they were receiving from the earlier generation. But Beis Hillel were so humble, like their master, like Hillel HaZaken. They were so humble. And therefore, with humility, there's the most accurate way to receive the wisdom that is traveling, that is descending to us all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. The Maral says in the Sivas Olam that the Mida of Anava, of humility, is the Mida of Pshitus, simple, being simple. Anava, Pshitus, Poshit means like a piece of matzah. It doesn't have anything, it receives. That's what it is. It's that awareness, that recognition, that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the greatest thing that a human being can do is to listen, is to hear, and to absorb that light of Hashem, to overcome the interference of the ani, of the ego, of the I, to be a Moshe Kibel, to be able to see the truth of the generations of Asap Klari Hameir in a clear and perfect way, without any chatzitzes, without any mechitzes. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was such a person who Hashem himself says about Moshe Rabbeinu, B'chol Desi Nemanu, he's trusted. I trust him because I know that exactly what I give to him, he's going to give to others. Moshe Kibel Torah Messina Umesero LeYeshua. And even within oneself, as Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, going back to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, explains in that Torah, in Meimarim, that even within the person himself, there's a process of Moshe Kibel. Because in each and every one of us, there's a Har Sinai, there's a higher, more noble part of who we are. There's that part of us that knows the truth in a deep way. The other part of us has to be humble enough to say that I don't know, and to say that for the body to be able to acknowledge that I'm driven by selfish and oftentimes disgusting things, and I have to humble myself to hear what my neshama is saying, to listen to the voice of my neshama, to listen to my seichel, to listen to that higher part of myself. Within oneself, there's a world of Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai, Umesero LeYeshua, to give it over to the lower part of myself. Now we understand. Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai, the tzaddikim explain why it says Mesinai. We spoke about this last week. Sinai is a place, it's a location. What's this business of Moshe Kibel Torah Mesinai? So the tzaddikim say a beautiful thing. They said that Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to even, didn't see himself as worthy to be the messenger to go to Mitzrayim. And he argued for a long time with Hashem by the burning bush. He didn't want to do it. He didn't feel that he was qualified. And yet, we see that when it comes to Har Sinai, that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't, we don't find any arguments between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem regarding his qualifications. He received the Torah and he came down and gave it to us. That was it. We would have expected him to say, no. After all, receiving the Torah is a much more momentous thing than being sent to Mitzrayim. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to receive the Torah. And yet we don't find Moshe Rabbeinu saying, I can't, it's not me, who am I, I can't talk, I'm not on such a level. We don't find that. So the Svarim talk about this. The Tzaddikim say a very beautiful thing. Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai, you know how he was able to move ahead with that and not to argue? Because he looked at Har Sinai. And when he looked at Har Sinai, he saw a small mountain. It wasn't a significant mountain. It was a small mountain. He saw Har Sinai, and he understood that it's an amazing thing. This little mountain, which is nothing on its own, nothing. But when it receives the Torah, when it receives the Dvar Hashem, when God meets up with that mountain, then it becomes Har Sinai. Then it becomes holy. When the Shekhinah is present, it becomes holy. And you know what? After the Shekhinah leaves, like it says in the Torah, B'mshech ha-yovel ha-me-yalu bahar, after the Shekhinah leaves, then the mountain is nothing. So Moshe Rabbeinu looked at Har Sinai and he said to himself, look, I know that I'm not anything. I know that I'm not worthy. I'm nothing but an empty vessel to receive. But you know what Har Sinai says? Har Sinai tells me, Moshe, for the moment, for the time that the Shekhinah is with you and the Shekhinah descends upon you and fills your existence, for that time you have the ability, or you are lifted to a place which is infinitely greater than yourself. And don't get stuck on who you are. All you need is, there's one qualification. There's one qualification, and that's Moshe Kibbutz. There's humility. And you have that qualification. You are the person to receive the Torah. How could you be such a person of greatness to say over such things that you're saying in Har Sinai and to go into the cloud and all of that? So Moshe's answer to that is, I don't know exactly. I don't know. But I know that this mountain is nothing without God, and I'm nothing without God. And if God is coming to me and talking to me, then hineini, I am here. And I'll meet the Shekhinah on her terms. And if that means for that time being that I'm with the Shekhinah, that I'm swept up into a cloud and something greater than myself, I'm thankful to the Creator for giving me that opportunity. That's really the story of our lives. We should be zeichet to understand that. We should be zeichet to listen and to hear and to receive Hashem's Torah till 120.